Let me tell you, the next, this session is going to be the best session you're going to have because I know her personally. Okay, Shani is the most organized person. I had her come down to my Chabad house for...
I forgot I did that.
1 week, 2 weeks. And she put it all together. So, most of her stuff is done through Outlook, and she's just going to give you a little idea of how she uses it to organize her day. Day, her life.
How you can use it to organize yours. Okay. So, I'm actually excited to be doing this because I think, obviously, if you're here, you want to learn Outlook or you want to know how to keep yourself organized through Outlook. And we're going to cover both of them. So, I was asked really to give a technology workshop. And thinking about technology, if you think, what's the whole hype about technology? Why do you need it? Why are you living in the dark ages if you're not using it? Because it really helps people be more productive because it saves time and it helps you use your time efficiently because it just keeps you focused. And also, it allows you to collaborate with others in a way that phone and fax could not accomplish as efficiently, I should say. So, with these points in mind, I think the one program that carries us through so profoundly, the one aspect of technology that would cover this all the way would be Outlook. If there's one thing you want to use to save you time, keep you organized, collaborate with others, Outlook is the program that you want to use. So my goal today is obviously to give you a guided tour of Outlook, but more than that, how to actually use it effectively. So, you know, I teach graphic design at Bishop Cook Seminary, and I come into the classroom in the beginning of the course, and I always tell them, you know, we're sitting here for 5 weeks in front of a blackboard with a piece of chalk in my hand, drawing pixel ratio diagrams on the board and misaligned flyers all on the blackboard, and they kind of look at me like, aren't we in a computer class? What are we doing on the blackboard? And I explain to them that you can know, I can teach you how to use Outlook. I mean, in that case, Photoshop. I can teach you how to use Photoshop. But if you don't know what you're doing with it, you're going on a path but heading nowhere. So as I was preparing this workshop, I realized the same principle really applies here. I can teach you how to use Outlook. I can go through all the features of it. But if I don't really start first with what we're doing with it and how you want to use it effectively, then you wouldn't really be getting the most out of it. So it is a very powerful and versatile program, and we're going to start first with management so that you can manage your shluchas and everything you're doing using Outlook. So we have an hour and a half, and I know all of you are coming from different places. Some of you just want to learn advanced, and some of you want to learn the basics. We'll get it all covered. And hopefully, by the time we're done, you'll have a new perspective on technology. It's not hard to use. It's actually there to simplify things for you. So we're going to start. And I guess before I start my last part of my introduction, I should tell you, I know a lot of you are looking at me and wondering what a young girl who's not a shlucha would know about managing a Chabad house. So I will tell you, I worked for Chabad houses for 5 years in management. And whatever I did, you know, information management, task management, time management, everything was part and parcel of the things I was doing. So I gained tremendously from the experience, and as a result, I have quite a bit to share with you now. So we're going to start with Microsoft Outlook, your key to personal productivity. Now, that's the title I chose just because I really believe it, and I think when we're done, you'll believe it too. And moving right along, you're here obviously because you want to make the move to change your outlook on productivity and use Outlook to get you there. So where I imagine some of you are coming from is you're coming from a management system that worked somewhat. It wasn't like you were doing things all this time and you were managing somewhat. It may have been effective. It may have been ineffective. Well, we'll analyze it, and then I'll show you what Outlook is going to change for you. So before Outlook, if you're not using Outlook yet, you have a lot of to-do lists. It could be in your car. It could be on your kitchen counter. It could be anywhere. It's things that you're scribbling here and there and trying to keep track of. You have a calendar that's also scribbling in notes and has limited capabilities. The limited capabilities would be on space. You don't have, I mean, I don't know if there's any one calendar on there that can fit a Chabad house's operations inside. There's, you're scribbling things, changing things. You're either erasing, whiting out. It's a mess. So a scribbled calendar can work, but Outlook makes calendar is that much easier and more effective to use. Three is you have piles of random notes. You know, an idea you got while you're at baggage claim, you're scribbling to put somewhere later, whatever it may be. You remember, you know, you need an item next time you're in Costco, you're scribbling it somewhere. Not necessarily will you find it next time you're actually there. You have an online email program, maybe Gmail, Verizon, Opt Online, whatever you might be logging into. You're sending emails. As a Chabad house, you might be sending emails from chani@gmail.com, which is a personal pet peeve of mine. I always like when a shlucha sends an email from her Chabad domain, like rebitson@mychabadwebsite.com, and we'll discuss that soon. And that also gets incorporated in Outlook. Five is you might have an array of don't forget items on your mind. I shouldn't say you might have. I'm sure you do. A lot of things on your mind. Don't forget this. Don't forget that. Just ideas that you're holding on to that are not necessarily documented somewhere that you're keeping track of. Six is you have a cell phone for calls and contacts. You probably don't have it synced. Maybe some of you do. But if you're here, I'm imagining you don't have it synced with Outlook. And seven, basically all of this boils down to a lot of wasted time or time not used efficiently. And after you move to Outlook, you have... it's just one program that takes all these items, the six items, puts it all together, one simple program, and it will get you organized and keep you that way. And two, just if you want to go the next step, two would be to get a smartphone, like a BlackBerry, an iPhone, and to keep keep Outlook with you. So, okay, back to where we were. Tasks. I don't know how clearly you can see it on the projector, but basically I'm going to show you now how each of these... what each of these becomes when you move to Outlook. Thank you. Your to-do list now becomes your task list in Outlook. And if you notice here, there's categories that you can categorize all your tasks into. So we'll discuss the categories a little bit later when we go more into tasks. But basically, it can organize it any way you like. So you can organize I have it organized here by 5 or 6 categories. One is a call category, one is a home category, one is computer, one is online, and one is like when you're at your desk. So that you know if you walk into Chabad House for, you know, 1 hour a day, you look right away at the tasks that have to be done specifically when you're at Chabad House. You have to meet with someone, whatever it is, that your 1 hour there can be used most effectively on the things that have to be done while you're there. You can also view it a lot of different ways, which we'll get to. This is basically where all your to-do items would be stored. You just open up a new task in Outlook, put it in here, and organize it accordingly. We'll go more into it later. Three is your pile of random notes. We're up to two. Scribbled calendar with limited capabilities goes into this calendar. Now, Outlook calendar, it looks great. You can color categorize everything so that if you have, for example, something that pertains to your kids, if it's appointments for your kids, you can color it pink. If you have something that's, I don't know, Chabad, financial related, you can color it green. Anything, you can make up your own categories according to color, so as soon as you see something, you know what it's associated with. What's great about calendar and Outlook is actually you can have multiple calendars. You can view your husband's calendar, your assistant's calendar, your teacher's calendars, however many people you want to share calendars with, you can view it. You can post things on someone else's calendar. You invited over a couple for dinner. You want your husband to know about it tomorrow night. He should be there. Stick it on his calendar. He'll see it right away. He won't miss it. So you have that straight on your own calendar. You can view his at the same time and put things on. And it gets synced with his calendar. He'll see it right away.
You have to actually sync it.
It could sync automatically. You can schedule it to sync, I think, as frequently as every 10 minutes. Outlook, Gmail actually syncs it for you. We'll get it through that screen. And it's really, you don't have to do anything on your part. You just put something there and automatically he gets it. So that's as far as your calendar goes. If you see on your calendar, you also have on the right side, you can view your tasks. So when you're looking at today's calendar, you see alongside all the tasks that you have to do, so you have a free hour, let's say free so to speak, 11 to 12, you see your tasks right near it, or you can of course switch to the task menu from here. The next thing we're doing is three, pile of random notes. Your notes go into the notes section of Outlook. Now there's great things to keep in notes, like anything you just want to keep track of, like that idea that you got a baggage claim, you just put into your notes. A shlucha calls you and tells you, guess what, the Trader Joe's has these new kosher items. and you need to put it somewhere. Where are you going to put it? You just put it into your notes. A whole bunch of random things that have no other specific place, but you want it as a reference for when you do need it. You just plug it in, you'll have it there. And of course, you can categorize like everything else in Outlook. You can, we'll set up the category soon when I go into the notes screen. Your online email program obviously becomes Outlook. I think that's probably what Outlook is known best for, is doing emails. And what's great about Outlook is that no matter what email you're using now, whether it's a Gmail, OptOnline, Verizon, SBC, you name it, you can pretend, so to speak, to be sending emails from Shlucha and MyChabadWebsite.com, because you just make up any name. You could be sending emails from Mickey Mouse. You can be sending emails from anything. You just put in your name as you want it to appear, and nobody has any idea that you're actually using OptOnline or something else behind your Chabad email address. Number five is your array of don't forget items on your mind. Everything that's on your mind has a place in Outlook. So whether it's the calendar, the tasks, the notes, whatever it is, your email program, if you have a reminder in your head, you have to contact someone about something, Outlook covers everything for you. And of course, you can have a cell phone that backs it up, as we discussed. And that basically sums up Outlook. And now we'll go into the details. So there's two things that Microsoft Outlook is going to do for you, two aspects. First of all, it's going to help you with organization and productivity, and it will help you with technology, just being using technology effectively to keep yourself, you know, to keep everything organized and done properly. So it kind of goes hand in hand, but I'm going to divide it into categories, and we'll go through what each thing is. So starting with the organization end, we'll spend about 10 minutes on the organization end, and then we'll go into Outlook, each screen. So it saves time. It has all the tools you need, as I just demoed very quickly, and we'll do it in detail. Let's go back. Okay. Outlook allows you, let's try this again. Outlook can be set up as your approved collecting point so that you can free your mind. What's a collecting point? There's any random day, hour of the day, you have all sorts of things coming at you. Your mind is your collecting point, or your notes are your collecting point, or your email, you're sending yourself emails, whatever it is. You have a collecting point. You have your desk is a collecting point for your mail. So if you're using your mind as a collecting point, your mind only has so much capacity. The capacity is big, but there's only so much you can store in your mind. And if it's overloaded with a whole bunch of things to remember, you keep collecting everything and keeping it in there, you get overwhelmed by it. It can stress you out. So Outlook allows you to set up, Outlook can be your collecting point. You have your tasks there, your notes. It collects all the information for you and keeps it in the right place so that when you need it, you have it there. And it keeps track of things for you. You don't need it on your mind anymore. And think of it in real life. If you're carrying, if each item in your memory or on your mind, it weighs a pound and you have 100 things in there, 100 pounds that you're carrying with you, you let go of it, you put it into Outlook, you feel lighter. You're not going to be stressed by all the things you have to remember, worrying that you'll forget it, because it's all documented. So Outlook definitely can be and should be set up as a prime collecting point for a lot of information that you're holding on to. And Outlook also allows you to master information management in a very, very efficient manner. Information management, very quickly, is basically a simple process. You have a collecting system, as we just mentioned. And basically, anything that you're collecting, either it gets referenced or it becomes an actionable item. So, for example, going back to a shlucha just called you and told you that there's these new amazing products that Trader Joe's has kosher, you can either reference it for later. You just collected that information. So you can either reference it for later, for when you need it, or you can set an action to it, go to Trader Joe's and purchase those items. So if you're referencing it, you'd be putting it in your notes for when you need to find it next. Or you make an action out of it. You put on your tasks, you know, go to Trader Joe's, whatever date. You can set a due date if you'd like, and we'll discuss that soon. And you have on the task, you list all the items for yourself.
Are you talking about the collecting system means the email server?
Collecting is any information that's thrown at you. It's a phone call that you got, someone asked you to, you know, can you write a letter for me? So you're keeping track of that. You don't want to carry that with you the whole day to write this letter. You put it down somewhere. You put it on your task list. So basically, anything that you're collecting, either it's a reference for later or it's an action that you have to do now. So that's your information management, and Outlook does a great job at that. And the next thing that we'll discuss is completing the cycle of productivity. And we're going to spend a few minutes on this because obviously in the Chabad house, anything that you're planning or if you have a school that you're running, there's a beginning process. There's the, you know, to get from point A to Z, there's a lot that goes on. And that's the cycle of productivity we're going to discuss. And I'll actually give you a real life example. You're all planning Purim now. And I'll show you planning Purim, how to go through the cycle of productivity. So this is the cycle of productivity. It's not mine. It's from time management experts. And it starts with identify a meaningful objective. Next is create supporting projects. Next, I know this means nothing to you right now, but I will show it to you exactly how it would carry through in your Chabad house. The next is create strategic next actions. Strategic next actions means like if you had on your mind or on your calendar for the last 2 weeks, plan Purim, and you're wondering why you didn't start yet, it's because it wasn't actionable. It's not an action to plan Purim. It's a project that you have to take care of, but it didn't tell you what to do, where to start. It's overwhelming. You have to break it down into strategic next actions. Next thing you have is tasks and subtasks. Each action has a task and subtask related to it, and I will demo that in a minute. Schedule and complete strategic next actions. Once you have your list of what has to be done, you schedule it and complete it. And then you review and acknowledge progress, which is an important part of the process. The next item we have here, back to the organization side, simply set actionable items. I just discussed it's part of the cycle of productivity. What Outlook also allows you to do is obviously take control of your operation in a very efficient manner. And going on to the tools and technology end, it allows you to easily share and access calendars of others on your team, which is amazing. You never have to call people, you know, are you available whatever time you can see. If your assistant is in a meeting or, you know, whatever, your husband, if he's there, if he's out fundraising at a certain time. So that's a great aspect of Outlook. You can also send emails from your own domain, which I discussed. You can automate tasks. If you have something happening every single Tuesday, it comes up automatically every Tuesday. It's not like a calendar where you're scribbling in every Tuesday trying to remind yourself. And you're not carrying it on your mind. Usually something that would be happening every Tuesday, you would just rely on your mind to remember. But again, it's something on your mind, carrying weight, get rid of it, put it on Outlook. And it allows you to seamlessly manage the work of others. Personal favorite of mine, and I'm sure a lot of you are managing a team, whether it's an assistant, an administrator, a secretary, whatever it is, teachers, you can manage the work of others by assigning tasks to them. And as soon as you assign a task to them, it goes on their task list, it gets emailed to them, it goes on their task list, and it goes on yours at the same time. And as soon as they update it, if they write that, if they check off that they're 50% complete, automatically you get an email that says it's 50% complete, and you can view the progress. If they put a little note in there of what they did, if they write that it's waiting on someone else, they can put a note of who they're waiting on, and you can see it on your screen. So you never have to keep track of what did I ask her for last week, what am I waiting for. Everything is right there on the screen in front of you. So I'll go through later exactly how to take care of that and how that gets done, and you'll see the screen of how it looks. Now, coming back to the cycle of productivity, which we'll discuss for a minute, real-life application, Purim et Chabad. So the first thing you're doing is identify a meaningful objective. Now, I'm not a shlucha, but I guessed it for you, and I'm pretty sure I guessed accurately. Your objective for Purim is to bring awareness, observance, and the joy of Purim to your community. Am I right? I think so. I think that would be at least one main objective. Another objective might be to acknowledge Baal Batim. That might be an objective for Purim. You're sending them gifts, which would be a supporting project. But focusing on this one, bringing awareness, observance, and joy of Purim to the community, you have supporting projects that go along with it. What are the supporting projects? In order to do this, one project would be Megillah reading and Purim Bash. Another project is a themed Purim Suda, or a Purim Suda as is. And another one would be a Shalach Manos campaign. These all would meet your objective and help you carry it through. So we have your supporting projects, and now the next thing you want to do is create strategic next actions for each one of these. So what are your strategic next actions? You need to plan, you need to delegate, promote, recruit, execute, and assess. I think they're all self-explanatory. You want to plan your event, you know, delegate. You can't do it all yourself. You have people helping you. You have staff, whatever it is. You're going to delegate things to them. You want to promote your event, obviously, so you get an audience. You get people participating. You want to recruit people. You might want to make calls to get people specifically to come. You have to execute the event and then assess it afterwards, which is also an important part of assessment. Take a moment just to, if you haven't been assessing your events after they're done, what happens is the next year you're really starting from scratch again, because you may have notes from the last year, but you don't remember what worked, what didn't work, what was great, what was a do not repeat. So after a Hanukkah event, for example, you would just do an assessment. What went well? The volunteer crew that we got this year was amazing. What didn't go well is that they came too late. They only came a half hour before the event. Next year, they should come at 4 o'clock. The lighting was terrible. Nobody was able to see outside. Whatever it is. So you assess the event, what worked and what didn't work, so you have a reference for next year. You look it up, oh, the volunteers, I'm going to schedule them for 3 o'clock this year instead of 5 o'clock. So coming on to the next part is make it actionable, which is what I discussed. Why didn't you plan Purim yet? Because it's just plan Purim. It's not actionable. It's not specific enough for you. So moving on, how do you make each thing actionable? So the strategic next actions have tasks and subtasks. So planning would be, what goes into planning? Planning is not actionable, but review venue options and reserve location is actionable. It's something you can do today. You can find 20 minutes. Plan Purim takes, let's say, you know, 6 hours. You never have a block of 6 hours to sit down and do it, so you just feel like you're not going to start. But if you break it down into a whole bunch of tasks that you can do every day here and there, it's easier to get done. So review venue options and reserve location is actionable. You see what your options are. If it's Chabad, then it's easy. You're done. You're set. Next one would be schedule entertainer, if you are. I'm just giving generic examples. So
if I may, first you have to decide which kind of entertainment you want. If you want to be exactly actionable, so decide or discuss.
Right.
And then check
exactly.
Yellow pages, all the, I don't know, magicians in the area, and then...
Thank you. I'll just repeat that. Basically, you want to first research your options, decide what you want to do, and then schedule it. So, yeah, that would be a few tasks. You can spend one day researching. You could spend another task might be go onto Shluchai's network and ask Shluchai's what they've done in the past. So, and then, of course, another task after that would be schedule entertainers. So, really, this would be, and I have an example of tasks and subtasks, but this would be entertainer would be a task, and your subtask would be one, research, two, whatever, exactly as you mentioned. Moving on. So menu I have set up like that. Let's say you have to work on the menu. And assuming that you don't have a caterer that you can rely on, we have a subtask is check Shluchai's network for menu ideas. Another subtask is browse cookbooks for ideas. Another one is create menu. Another one is create corresponding shopping list. Another one is call volunteers to assist with cooking. And the next one is actually prepare the food. Prepare the food would go on your calendar for a certain time. The other things are tasks that you're going to do. And we'll get to that on the next screen. Another next action task is book the musician. And again, it could be research, call people, call references, whatever it is. And order paper goods and props. And you would make yourself a list. You know, a sub task on that would be prepare the list. And another subtask would be actually run the errand. So all of these obviously fit right into Outlook, and your venue options and reserve location would be scheduled as a task. Your entertainer is scheduled as a task. Your menu, check Shluchai's network for menu ideas. That's a task that would go into the online category. So when you're sitting on your desk, you give yourself a half hour to be on the internet. That's in your online category. Browse cookbooks for ideas. You have to do in your home, presuming that your cookbooks are at home, not in a Chabad house. So it would be in the home category. What's great about having a home category is, if you're leaving Chabad House for the day or if you're there for an hour, you take home or you're syncing with your phone the category that you have to do at home. When you're home, what did I have to do now? Which tasks are related to this specific location? And you have your list. And browse cookbooks for ideas would be one of them. Create a menu is a task, or you're creating it in your notes on Outlook. And that obviously would be, there's a mistake here, it should say in parentheses, that's a desk category. Create corresponding shopping lists is a task that goes into your errands category. And of course, errands category is great because you're getting in your car, you're doing errands, you want to do them all at one time. You look at anything that's in the errands category, you take it all with you, and you get it all done while you're in the car one time instead of keeping on running out.
Which one did you say?
the create menu. It says task note again. It should say in parentheses which category that is. And that would be a desk category. You have to be sitting at your desk computer to actually create it. And call volunteers to assist with cooking is a task that goes into your call category. What's great about a call category is, for example, you're in the car. You know you'll be driving for an hour. You take your call category with you, you do all the calls in the car. If you just have a whole big task list, you don't know where to start in the car. You're going in the car, you have an extra hour, what are you going to do with it? You have a call category, it's simple. Just take that and you get your calls done while you're driving. And prepare the food would be... carefully. Prepare the food would be a calendar item because that is specific to time and day. You're not just putting it on your tasking. You're not preparing today. You're not preparing tomorrow. You're preparing the day of or the day before or 2 days before Purim or maybe a week before and freezing, but it's a calendar item. You're scheduling on your calendar. Why? Because you have to have, I assume you're going to get help. You'll get volunteers to do it with you. You have to schedule, say, call it a meeting, for example. People are coming, time and date. That goes on your calendar, not your task pad. And book musician is, again, a task. You have your contacts on Outlook. You have his contact information right there or contact information for a few of them. Order paper goods is also a task. So I think you get the idea. We're going to move on to the guided tour of Outlook. Any questions on the organization end before we move on?
So, like, when I would sit down to plan for, I would sit down on my computer and kind of just everything
exactly. The question was planning Purim. We're just going to repeat it for the tape. How would you actually do this? All those tasks, whatever you're doing, you'd sit in front of the Outlook for a half hour or as long as it takes for you to brainstorm everything and put everything down. Don't keep anything on your mind. No random reminders that, oh, I should really call Sally to find out if she liked the clown last week. No. Put it in there. If it's something you want to do, put it, if you want to call her right now at 2 o'clock, put it in your calendar for 2 o'clock. But if it's not necessary for 2 o'clock, if she's not going out of the country, then put it on your task list. You can call her whenever. There's another question?
So you wouldn't do this on paper. All this would be straight on the computer.
Everything straight on the computer. If you, the part of Outlook that resembles a paper most would be your notes. So that's just, you pick up a note. Instead of scribbling on a paper, you're scribbling on notes. It saves on your computer. It's searchable on your computer. You can search your notes. If you have 20 notes on your desk, if you have to find that note about Purim, you have to read 20 of them.
You have to put the notes under a topic, or you can just put in entertainer and anything
that ever... Whatever works for you, really. We are going to categorize our note categories. Like, I have one note category that's called logins and passwords. All your logins and passwords that you always forget goes into one note category, logins and passwords. Another category could be shopping lists, you know, your favorite items at Costco, at Trader Joe's, at Office Max, or whatever. So when you're shopping and you want to kind of remember what you like to buy, that goes in one category. You can set up as many categories as you like, really. But what I was saying before about notes, while you keep it in notes, Google Desktop, which we'll discuss, searches your computer in 1 second. So if you remember one word that you wrote in that note, it finds it in a second for you. It's up, and there's no wasted time involved. So that's why I really like, everything can be done in Outlook. It covers everything for you. There's no reason, really. You have to pick up a pen and paper again, unless, like, you're not at your computer and you don't have it synced with your phone. You scribble a little note, which is a collecting point, but it goes straight into Outlook afterwards, as soon as you get to your desk.
I'm sorry, any phone syncs, or it has to be like a
smartphone, like either a Palm or a BlackBerry or an iPhone. We will get there. I was thinking phones. So,
what happens
I actually, when I was preparing, I called my sister. I was so excited about Outlook. I always am excited about Outlook, and I wish more people would use it. And I was preparing, and I called my sister Hani, and I said, Hani, Outlook was created for you. I really think you should start using Outlook. I don't know why I never convinced you before. She says, okay, tell me one thing. My computer crashes, do I lose my life? I said, well, you'll have it backed up. But yeah, there are a few mediums that you'll have to keep everything backed up. And we're going to show printing on one of them. You're not going to keep printing everything. You have it backed up to a remote backup that backs up every single night for you, every night, so that you never lose any work. You also, hopefully, you'll have it synced with your phone. So your phone... If your computer's down, at least you have everything on your phone syncing. Now, I will tell you, I mean, loss could happen anywhere, but think of your calendar. I don't want to be around when you lose your paper calendar. That you're not getting back.
No,
if you lost it, Yeah, yeah, but think about it, if you had it on paper, it's much worse. If you had your calendar on paper, if you lose it, there's no chance of getting it back. Here, if your computer goes down, you have it backed up in a few locations. We're also backing up to Google. Yeah. Google Calendar will have your Outlook calendar backed up to it, so you can always log in from anywhere and see it. So there are a few ways to back up, and I think we're going to cover it through the workshop. So the guided tour of the program's key functions, plus all the bells and whistles. There's so many great things that I'll show you. Just those little ideas that, you know, like how to automatically send an email to someone. It looks like you remembered that he had just come out of the meeting. You could schedule an email today. Someone tells you he's having a meeting in 2 weeks, and you schedule an email today to send an hour after his meeting's over. Hey, Jack, how was the meeting? Hope it went well. I'm thinking about you. You weren't thinking about him, honestly. But you scheduled it. You don't have to keep it on your mind to follow up with him. You write it now, and you say send in 2 weeks at whatever time. So I'm going to throw in all these interesting ideas. And you'll discover the neat tools and actions you'll wonder how you ever got by without. And if I didn't accomplish that, then I didn't do a good job at the workshop, but I really hope you'll be convinced to move over to Outlook once we're done. So moving right along, guided tour. We're going to start with mail. Your mail, just to give you the points of what we'll cover, and then we'll go into the screenshots. We're going to skip the basics of attaching and signatures and forwarding and drafts and whatever, because I'm assuming you all do use some sort of email now, and you know, you know the benefits of having your signature on there, how to attach a file. It's all the same paperclip, I think, throughout every program, or the attach button, whatever it is. Next is we'll go over the preview pane. We'll discuss how to actually set up shlucha at myownwebsite.com so you're not sending emails from shlucha at Gmail or Verizon or whatever it is. Flags, how to use flags to prioritize, categorize, and even remind you. You can put a flag on an email so that you get a reminder. You know, if someone says, please, you know, I'm letting you know about this workshop to call into, let's say, an online seminar at whatever time, if you want, you can put it on your calendar, or you can have that email, you put a flag on it that pops up a reminder on your computer at 5 to 1 to call into the online webinar. Rules to automate mail processing, we'll do that. If you're not on Outlook, then I'm not sure how you would accomplish this otherwise, but what's great about Outlook, for example, is for the groups that you're signed on to, let's say Shluchas Network, I don't know if they're still doing it by email, but if you're getting a whole bunch of emails, you have one email address. It takes all the Shluchas Network emails, but there's a rule that your computer, that Outlook knows, as soon as the email comes in, it has SN in the subject line, it automatically goes into a separate folder so it doesn't clutter up your whole inbox. You can still find your important emails and read Shluchas Network when you have the time for it. Everything goes on to Outlook. I have actually a list on here. I think it's too tiny on your screenshot, but I wrote on there which what to Google in order to find the list of internet service providers. So we're going to have saving messages as files, include your name and remarks and replies. Like, for example, someone sends you a long email and you want to reply to each item, so you go into their email and reply, so automatically it can include your name in brackets. As soon as you start typing, it says Shaney, and these are my comments. I start typing again somewhere else, and it says Shaney, so it's easy to keep track of the conversation. Schedule emails to automatically send later, that I just mentioned, and sending files to a mail recipient from anywhere on your PC. You never have to really open the email and hit attach. You're working on a file, you're working on a Word document, you want to send it to someone, from right there, you just hit the email button, and it sends it for you. And organizational. The organizational end, there's the 4 D's of email, either delete it, do it, delegate or defer it, and then we'll cover that after we do the technical end. We're going to do organizing, folders and sorting, and auto-notify for incoming mail to use or not to use, we'll discuss. And the bonus tip is the advantage of a wireless mouse with custom buttons, my personal favorite, and I will tell you about it. Starting with the technical end. So we're skipping the basics, as I said, but this is basically how a new message looks in Outlook. If you've used the Microsoft program in the past, which I assume you have, it carries the same things that you've seen in every Microsoft program. All the regular tools, the print thing, the save, the open, the justify. It'll be comfortable for you because you've seen it before, you've used it before in anything else, in Word and Excel and Publisher. There's two, CC, BCC, subject line. There's options that drop down here, which will go to another screen. This is basically it. Obviously, you always want to include a signature, just as a side note, because someone wants to find your website after you wrote to them. They want to call you as a follow-up to your email. You always need an email signature that automatically pops up that says who you are, what Chabad house you are, your address, your phone number, your website. So if you don't have a signature yet on your email, whatever email you're using, just make sure to set that up when you get back. Next, the preview pane. The preview pane is great because you don't actually have to open any email. It comes up all right here on the right side. And if you have a wide screen, this works really, really well because you can make full use of your wide screen by setting up your preview pane on the right side. So you can view an email. You just scroll down through your list. You don't have to open it. You can reply from there with a keyboard shortcut, and everything works smoothly. If you don't have a widescreen, you can just do preview pane is off. You see here we have the options right, bottom, and off. It could show up on the right side. It could show up on the bottom if you'd like, or it doesn't have to be there at all. The next one is setting up shlucha at mydomain.com, which we discussed. This is how you do it. You go into tools, email accounts, add a new email account, and you choose POP3. Those are the options that you'll get. You just follow those settings, those clicks, and you'll get there. Okay. Hang on one second. We have a question?
Yeah. I'm sorry. What do you mean? Like, if I have an AOL account, I do it at there, or I do it after at Chabad?
Okay. If you have an AOL account, you could. One second. Two things about it. First of all, you're not POP3. You'd be IMAP. You can Google, like, add AOL account to Outlook, and it will give you the process. But if you have an AOL account, you can actually move over to Outlook completely. There is a program, which I discuss later, that actually takes all your mail. You probably didn't move because you thought you can't get your mail with you on Outlook. But there is a program that transfers it, converts it. But you wouldn't be POP3. You would be IMAP instead. And you would put in your name. And let's say Shlucha, whatever your name is. You put in your email address. You put in your email address the way you want people to see it. This top section, your name, whatever you want to put in, and email address is shlucha@myownchabadhouse.com. So obviously you're going to set the settings in mychabad.org that whatever email address you make up here, if it's shlucha@chabad.com, shlucha@chabad.com has to reach you at whatever email address you're using. So if it's you're using Verizon, it should reach you at khanig@verizon.com. Just make sure to set that up so that automatically you're still getting your emails. Outlook doesn't host your email for you. It says, where are you pulling your email in from? It's coming onto your computer. Everything's saved on your computer. You never run out of space again because all the attachments are on your actual computer. But it just needs to pull it from somewhere. So it says, okay, are you using Gmail? Tell it to get your email from Gmail. pop.gmail.com goes into the POP section, and the SMTP section is smtp.gmail.com. It's your incoming mail and what server you're using to send mail. We had a question here. If you have a few different, you can add multiple accounts. You can have 8 email accounts all coming into one Outlook box. And if you want, you can even add a category. If you want to know which email account it was sent to, if it was to your personal or to Chabad, or if you have your husband's email account on yours, if you want to know if it was actually sent to your husband, you can add a category that says who was sent to, not just from. Usually you see who it's sent from. You can add to. Later in the, well, I think we'll get back to the mail screen. You see, let's say that your default categories are from, subject line, time it came in, and flag. And you can add another one, who was sent to. Or you can set up folders that if it was sent to Chani G of Verizon, then it should go into a specific folder. If it was sent to Rabbi at Chabad, it should go into another folder. Whatever you want, whatever works for you. Yeah.
When you're connected, syncing Gmail without, can you still get your Gmail online?
Yeah, you could. The question was if you can still get your Gmail online if you're syncing with Outlook. You can set there's a setting in there. I don't have a screen of it here, but I can pick up Outlook afterwards when we're done if we have time. But there is an option on there that says keep mail. Gmail actually is two things. When you're pulling mail from anywhere, Outlook has a setting that says keep mail on the server, and it asks you for how many days. Gmail has a setting on Gmail. When you go into settings, it asks you if you want to, when you pull mail on Outlook, if you want to either take it off the server or keep a copy on there. So it's whichever you prefer. If you want to be able to access it, you know, without logging into your computer, then keep it on there. But I will tell you, you shouldn't really respond from Gmail. If you're logged into gmail.com, if you just want to check on your email, if you're going to respond, it's not going to be in your send folder on Outlook. So then you're going to be missing responses. Next time you're looking at, what did I write to her? You're going to go into your Gmail folder, into your Outlook folder in your sent box, and it's not going to be there. So that's why really I would much quicker tell you to log into your computer and go onto Outlook. But if you had a computer that has internet, if you can go to gmail.com, you could go to logmein.com and log into your computer and see it right in front of you. We're going to get there. Okay. We'll get there.
It's not so complicated.
Either way, you have internet. So you can go to gmail.com or logmein.com. It's one more step, but you're on your own computer seeing everything in front of you, and everything stays in one place. Your sent items are all on Outlook. The workaround for it, if you ever have to send an email from gmail.com, what I do is I BCC myself. So they don't see that I wrote to myself. I BCC myself, so it actually comes into my box next time. It comes into my inbox, and next when I'm on Outlook, I drag it into my sent folder. So that's the workaround, but it's, you know, you have to remember to drag. It's extra things to do. You have to drag the thing into your sent box after, and you might as well just log in to begin with. Yeah.
I think people need to know that once you start using it, I never go to Gmail anymore. I go right into Microsoft. So that's number one.
Yeah.
So log me in, like she said, log me in.
Right, you don't turn back. Outlook is amazing. It's so comfortable. It's not like this technical thing that's overwhelming. It's so comfortable. It's so easy. Everything's right there. Remember when you're on Gmail also, there's loading time for things. It might be very small, but still, you're opening something, you're clicking. Outlook, everything's instant.
And also, if neatness means something to you, Gmail to me is very messy, and so is Yahoo.
Right.
Everybody still has another account. Microsoft is full of Gmail. That's
right. And I think if you're here, neatness does mean something to you, and organization does mean something, and Outlook keeps it so much more organized. Thank you.
But a point now that I'm having is the distribution list. And I think if you have like over 100 emails, like, you know, I send out to a short list. Or
right.
It doesn't send it out from one, and then when it comes back,
what? Okay, so the question was the distribution list, if you sent to over. I have a few things for you. So the question was the distribution list, if it's over 100 emails, it doesn't quite work. It might bounce back or it stops sending or whatever it is. It could be a few things.
Another website?
I have three things for you. First of all, you should check with your internet service provider for if there's a maximum amount of emails you can send at a time. That could block it. But the workaround for it, forget the distribution list, do a mail merge, which we will cover. I've sent to 900 people within just a few minutes. You do a mail merge. You set it up as a mail merge. They all send. It sends one at a time, individually, dear Sam, dear Sally, dear Janet, dear whatever. I'd love for you to join us for Friday night dinner this Friday night. They think you sent it personally to them. It's coming out of your Outlook. We're doing mail merges, yeah, email merge. Yeah. Oh, we're running out of time, but we'll go through it quickly. And the other thing is constant contact. If you want to be more efficient with sending emails, for like nicely designed emails, if you want to send a designed email, like your email newsletter for your Chabad house, you need constant contact for it. It doesn't come out as nice in Outlook. But for simple emails and mail merges, Outlook is just fine as your regular email program. For mass communications, Constant Contact, or actually I should add, mychabad.org has a new communicator, which you should use.
It's the next session this afternoon.
Oh, okay. So stay in the room. Okay, the next thing is, in this area, the top area, the user information is how you want your email address to appear, and the login information is what you're really using, what's really behind. They're never going to know. They'll have no idea what's behind that email address, but you have to tell the Outlook where to get your mail from. So you write, you know, chabad@gmail.com, whatever you are, and your password, and you're done. You're set up.
Right, so where are they sending the emails back to? They're responding to?
They're sending emails back to your address.
Which address?
The Chabad one. The chani@chabad.com. And you set it up on mychabad.org to reach you, to reach your Gmail account. It's coming into your Gmail account, but they have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. Can everyone please turn off their phones? I was asked to ask. I'm sorry. Put on vibrate, if you don't mind. Thank you. Okay. Next, flagging. We're going to move very quickly through the rest of it because we still have a lot to cover. I'm not. I'm sorry. You can get the tape.
We'll have it available on tape.
Okay. Technical flagging, prioritizing, categorizing, and reminding. Basically, you can. This is the section. We had a question before. This is exactly where you would add a section in for who was sent to, if you wanted to see it. This is who it was sent from, and you have who the subject line, the date. You can add another category, who was sent to, the time you received it. You can add a lot of categories. Now, I have the flagging system. If you see, everything is color-coded on my Outlook. I love the flagging system on Outlook. Anytime an email comes in, I flag it. Red is priority, means that email cannot be in my box when I leave today. That email must be taken care of today. I flag everything because I like it organized by color. Blue might be low priority items that I can get to. I don't have to deal with it now. I don't have to turn it into a task right now. I can just leave it for right now. Nothing's going to happen. I can set green to anything that's financial related, a bill I have to pay or whatever. I sometimes have, let's say, orange if it relates to another person. For example, when I was an assistant to a shliach, I would have anything that was orange meant that as I caught him walking out the door, it would be like, 1 minute, Rabbi, these are three emails that I need to talk to you about. And I knew I didn't have to start sorting through my inbox to see what it was that needed his attention. Right away, I knew the three items. They were orange flag. So flag it however you want, whatever category you want, but flag it. It categorizes it for you, keeps everything organized. Really, you shouldn't have this amount of emails in your inbox, and I'll show you how to convert emails to a task. But I did this just for demo purposes so that you get the idea. Now, so categorizing is basically...
Jamie, what does it say on the window? Is that what it says? Flags, priority?
Yeah. Flags take care of prioritizing for you, categorizing, and...
How do you bring up that screen?
Oh, so how do you bring up the flag? You just right-click on the flag area. And right away, see that here we have... There is a flag that appears everywhere here. These are unflagged. This is how it looks when an email comes in. There's no flag. So you just right-click on it. When you right-click here, it brings up, you know, your flagging options. Obviously, that's the right-click on here is going to bring up PowerPoint options, but you right-click and this drops down. So you select it red, whatever color you want, and you could also set a reminder here. And I have it on another screen. Oh, here. This is the right-click demo, okay? So you have... No. I think, actually... One second. You could... You see where it says here, flag to cool? I think you could... not in this screen, actually. I'm not sure. I think there might be a setting for it. If you go into options somewhere, you might be able to name your flags. So this is where you would flag to call at 9:30. Someone sent me an email, you know, join the conference call, whatever. It's in 20 minutes. So I flag this, and I do flag to call at 9:30, and it's going to pop up a reminder on my screen. This email will generate a reminder popping up that I should make the call. Next, rules to automate mail processing and getting alerts for special emails. So this is great for those on Shluchas Network. If you see this rule I have, it says, apply this rule after the message arrives with SN in the subject and on this machine only, and move it to the Shluchas Network folder. And that, you see anything that's underlinable, like anything that has that underline thing, means I can click into it and change it. I don't want it to move to the Shluchas Network folder. I want it to move to my junk folder. I can select the junk folder. And then I added extra rules that tell it accept where my name is in the to box or accept if sent only to me. So I don't know exactly how the Shluchas Network works, where your name appears. I imagine it's not in the to-box on the regular mass emails. So if a shluchah replies to an email that has SN in the subject line, they're replying to you. They want to tell you a private message. It's going to automatically go in your mass shluchas box if you didn't apply this rule that except if my name is in the to-box or if it was sent only to me. That way you can keep track of the personal messages that you're getting, but all the mass ones are moved somewhere else for when you have time to read it. So that's, I think, crucial if you're on the network and managing all these emails. It keeps things organized and going to the right place. Now, your rules wizard, this is what it looks like. It starts with create a rule from a template, and these are your options, which you'll look at on your computer when you get home. But basically, there's move messages from someone to a folder, which is what we just did. There's move messages with specific words in the subject to a folder, which is actually what we just did, not from a specific name. Move messages sent to a distribution list of folder, delete a conversation, flag messages. You can actually have messages flagged automatically for you. For example, like I just used it when the accident happened in the Five Towns. So I was taking care of all the support emails that were happening, that were coming in. So I didn't want it to get lost in my inbox. I have 8 email accounts coming in there. So automatically, if someone emailed support at ChabadFiveTowns.com, it got flagged orange. So I knew if it was orange, it was the Chabad Five Towns emails that I was taking care of. So it's great. If you have specific emails coming in for specific things, you could automatically assign a flag to it when it comes in. So that's the basic idea, and you'll explore it more on your own. Technical, saving messages as files. I love this because when you want to have, let's say you have a perm folder on your computer. You have your perm folder that has all your, whatever you have, your invitation from last year. Now, if you want to keep a reference near that invitation of what you actually paid for it, so you know next year when you're pulling up last year's files, oh, what did he charge me last year? Instead of digging up that email, looking for it, you can't remember which printer you used, who it came from, you save this message. This message is the quote on the invitations. And with all the specs and everything, you save the message to your perm folder on your computer so that everything's in one place. You can reference it next year. It's also in Outlook. It doesn't move from Outlook, but it's in another place for you where you'll likely be looking for it. So this is just the save as, and that's all that there is to that. Technical, including your name with remarks and replies. This is where you would do it. You would hit, you would select tools, options, preferences, and then email options. And right here on the bottom, you have include, I check marked the mark my comments with, and I put in my name. And every time I reply to someone, if I go down to the bottom of their message and insert my replies within their text, it adds my name to it just to keep things organized. Next, scheduling emails. This is what I was telling you about. So if you want to schedule an email, let's say I just spoke to Jack today and he tells me he's having a really critical meeting in however many weeks' time. So I write the email right now when I hang up the phone from him, and I write, hi Jack, how did the meeting go today? Were you able to sign the deal? I've been thinking about you and praying for your success. Warmest wishes, Rabbi Mendy. And I go into my options, and I set do not deliver before February 16th, 2:34 p.m. I made up a very random time because I didn't want it to, like, 2:30 looks like maybe it was automatic. Not that most people wouldn't suspect it, but you just make up any time, and you don't have to think about it again. It's done. It's taken care of. It's not on your task list for the next 2 weeks. It's not on your calendar for that day. What's that?
Where is the options?
You just hit the options button right here. You see the orange circle? Right there. It's on every email. Every email that you open, every new email has an options button. We're on 2003. If you're using 2007 back there, it might be somewhere different. I'm not sure.
No.
Yeah.
The one thing with that is I've done this before, and sometimes you forgot that you did that. And the speaker, you're like, oh, thank you so much for the email. I think you were the last thing you wrote.
Right. So the question was, if you're sending it, just keep in mind they actually send it. So when they call you 20 minutes after you sent that to say thank you so much, it's not like, what are you talking about? Yeah, of course you just sent that email. So, yeah, if you think you're going to forget, then don't try it. And also be very, very careful. If you're doing this, make sure, check 4 times that you actually set a later date. You don't want to, by mistake, send that today. That will kind of give away your secret if you, by mistake, sent it today instead of at the right date. And then you just hit send, and it sits in your outbox until the right time, and then it just sends itself at the right time. So, next, sending files to a mail recipient from anywhere on your PC. That's what I spoke about before. Either you can do this, you right-click on the file, you just hit send to, and mail recipient is an option, or you hit, you go option 2 is that little email button that is right there on every Microsoft program. There is, you may have not noticed it before, but you have just right near the open button, the save button, the print preview button, there's an email button. You click email, and automatically it opens up like a little Outlook bar. You put the 2 name in, and you're done. You hit send. You never have to go back into your email program, then find the email to attach it. It's simple. Next, the organizational end of mail. So that basically covers the tools, and we're moving on to organizational 4 Ds. Basically, it's self-explanatory. When you get an email, there's 4 things you run. Either you delete it. If it's the sales at eCost and you have no money to spend, delete it. It's done. Do it if it takes less than 2 minutes. So say the time experts. If it takes less than 2 minutes, do it right now. Don't pile it onto your tasks. If it's quick, if it says, Revitson, could you give me the number of the contractor you had last week? I'll show you how to forward it very easily. Just do it now. Delegate it if it's something that belongs to someone else, if it's something your assistant should do. Can you write me a recommendation letter? Your assistant can do it. Delegate it to her. And if it's something that can be deferred, like it doesn't need to be done now, later, either flag it for later or put in your task pad as low priority, whatever it is. I'll show you how to drag it to tasks. Organizing folders and sorting. You can set up a lot of folders, any folders where you want to keep mail if you have reference things. Like we said, your collecting point is either any email you get. Your email's collecting. It's a collecting point for you. An email could either be a reference, something you want to reference later, or it can be something you want to set as actionable. So you can have reference folders. If it's, a recipe that a shlucha posted on the network, you can drag it into a folder called Collected Recipes, and you just leave it there. You can also sort your folders. You can sort your mail can be sorted any which way. You can sort it by name. You can sort it by date. You can sort it by who was sent to. You can sort it by flag color. Everything's right there for you. And again, you're not like on gmail.com. Everything happens in an instant. You sort, it's right there. So, okay, sorry about that. Now, the auto-notify for incoming mail, to use or not to use. Some of you, if you've used Outlook, you know how you can get that pop-up on the bottom bar that automatically tells you any program that you're in, Outlook automatically pops up and says you got a new message. If you have your mail coming in every 5 minutes automatically, you can have it set every 1 minute, every 5 minutes, every hour, whatever it is, and then it has an option to auto-notify you. You can be working in Publisher, and you get a little pop-up. So do you want it or do you not want it? It seems neat. But every time management expert will tell you, do not use it. It's just constant interruptions. When you're doing email, do email. When you're on something else, don't let email constantly interrupt you. You can't get anything done. You're on something and, an email came in. Let me look. So you don't get anything done. You're constantly switching back and forth. You're not focused. Don't have it pop up. Leave it there. If it's so urgent, I imagine they'll find a way to contact you. I don't know if an email that was sent that was so urgent for this minute, they wouldn't have sent an email. So don't use it. I mean, that's my suggestion anyways. If you want it, hey, go ahead. And bonus tip, the advantage of the wireless mouse with custom buttons. I only use wireless mice. Why? Because they have so many buttons that you can customize that just make things even quicker. If you can do it faster, why not? So I have my button I always customize is this thumb button. The button that's right near your thumb, it usually comes with about 8 buttons to customize. You get the Logitech ones. The button is the delete button. I'm going through my email. You don't have to hit the delete button on your keyboard. You're just moving through it. You just hit the delete button. Any program you're in, you have one button is copy, one button is paste, one button could be enter, one button could be swap program, whatever it is. You use the things you do most. You get a wireless mouse, and you customize all the buttons on there. It's amazing, amazing. So, what's that? Ecost. Go to Ecost. If you go to Staples, you'll pay like $80 for it. If you go to ecost.com, you can get it for like $20 to $30. I just bought a few of them for like $25. They're refurbished, but they work just fine.
What's the name of the brand?
Ecost.com. It's a Logitech. It's a Logitech digital laser, whatever it is, a laser mouse. Ecost.com, you go to Bargain Countdown, and it has like the latest deals. So some things are refurbished. A Logitech. Logitech you couldn't count on. Logitech keyboard mouse combination. The keyboard is very neat also. The keyboard that comes with it has, like, on the right side, you know, you can zoom in, zoom out, just right on your keyboard. And it has all these neat things. It could automatically launch programs for you with the touch of a button. So it's a worthwhile investment, being that this is the technology workshop. I figured I'd throw it in. And it's fun. You get used to it, and it's like, if you're missing that wireless mouse one day, using a regular one, it's a whole different experience. Okay, so I mentioned or eBay. I guess you can try that too. Calendar. Calendar, you know what? Because we're running out of time, I'm just going to skip the overview of what we're covering, and we're just going to go straight into it. So technical one-click Hebrew calendar and Yom Tovim integration. Yes, Outlook, if you don't have Hebrew on your calendar, yes, it can integrate Hebrew. It's so simple. It shows right up here, if you see, it says Chai Shvat. And all you do is you go into tools options, calendar options, and you do, first of all, you have right here, check this box. My orange thing actually went to the wrong place. It should be right above. I believe it's tools options, and then you just hit calendar options. So we'll show you notes. We're going to get to an options screen soon. I'll point it out there. Enable alternate calendar. You just select Hebrew, and you select Hebrew Lunar. And that's it. Hebrew is automatically on every single date. And then you also add holidays. Click on the Add Holidays buttons, and it asks you which holidays you want to add. So it has this whole list here. Just hit Jewish religious holidays, and it will pop up. Hanukkah, Sukkot, everything will be on your Outlook calendar. So you really don't need another calendar. You never need to use something else. Everything is on Outlook. Okay, next. You can easily add, change, delete, reschedule appointments and reminders. I think this is pretty self-explanatory. You just, this is your new item window. You hit File, New, or just a shortcut. Hang on one second. Just a shortcut for adding anything new, a new calendar item, a new email, a new task, Control-N. Control-N is new throughout Outlook, whatever you're in. If you're in calendar, it's going to open a new calendar item, ask you what date, what time, what do you want to put in. If you're in tasks, it will open up a new task. If you're in email, Control-N will open up a new email message. So just always use it because it's so much easier than clicking File, New, scrolling around. It'll save you time. There's a question in the back?
Yes, sorry. I'm just using this to enable the calendar. You click enable something.
Tools, options, calendar options. And then follow the screen. You have a screenshot of it right here. You just hit check on enable alternate calendar, and you also select add holidays. So your appointments, you have all your options here, the date, the start time, the end time. You can do no time if it's just something that you must do today, but it doesn't have a specific time, but you want it on your calendar, then put it on your calendar with no time on it. You can delete it if you don't like it. What's great about all these appointments, if you delete something, your Google desktop search thing is still going to reference it. It's still there. It's in your deleted box. So if you're looking for something you deleted, you can go to your deleted items, and it's in there. Or your deleted items in Outlook, like it's with all your email messages, everything else. Or your Google search will find it. And you'll explore that on your own. Schedule meetings and track meeting responses. Outlook is great at scheduling meetings for you. Granted, everybody else is on Outlook also. And if it's your office, I mean, you set up everybody on Outlook, and that's how you're all working together. You schedule a meeting, and you have right here, this would be, I think it would say create, I don't know, something invitation, and right now it's on cancel invitation because I already created the invitation. I set it up. And we sent it to, let's say my assistant's name is Dini Apple, and John Giovanni is the custodian, and Representative Shlucha, and the club girls, and the preschool teachers, and whoever else. Subject is staff meeting, and start time is 9:30, end time is 11 o'clock on this date. Reminder should be 15 minutes, show time as busy. And it says, dear staff, we need your participation in the meeting this Monday in order to move things forward. Agenda below, and you have the agenda here, and you just send. And they'll get a meeting request. It comes up in their email as meeting request, and it says accept, I think maybe reject, or propose new time, or they have a few different options. And automatically, when they hit accept, it goes into their Outlook calendar. They never have to do anything else. They hit accept, it's scheduled on their calendar. It's scheduled on yours as soon as you send it. Unless if they reject, then you get a notification that someone rejected the time, they can't be there, you have an option to reschedule, whatever it is. Play with options. One thing I always say whenever I teach technology things, don't be afraid of the computer. Try it. It doesn't work. Undo. Try something else. Just try out. You're not going to learn otherwise if you're afraid to touch buttons. So try it. And if it didn't work, oops, I'm sorry. That wasn't the right thing. Let's do it again.
Can I just ask a quick thing?
Yeah.
Something you told us, the Jewish calendar, but it's not coming out. It says just February Hebrew. It's not saying like...
Hebrew lunar. You have to hit the Hebrew lunar thing also.
Oh, lunar?
Hebrew and Hebrew lunar. On the right, to the right of Hebrew, it says Hebrew and Hebrew lunar, right near it. I'll show you after on your laptop. See it? Good. Okay. This is also amazing. Once you have Hebrew on your Outlook, you have recurring items. You can schedule. It has the ability to schedule according to the Hebrew calendar. So if every Rosh Chodesh you like to give out muffins to your teachers, you schedule a note on your calendar every single Rosh Chodesh to give out the muffins. Like here you have, let's say, monthly. Day is Chaf Beis of every month. And it shows on the bottom, I have it ended after 8 occurrences. So it says on the bottom, end by Yom Shishi Chaf Beis Elul, Tavshin Samach Tes. It has all the Hebrews integrated. So you can schedule according to Hebrew, English, whatever you want, whichever calendar. Right here, it says monthly. It shows Gregorian calendar and the Hebrew. I selected Hebrew. And the options are extensive. There's nothing you cannot schedule automatically. You can have weekly, you can do every 2 days, every 2 weeks, you can go on and on. You can schedule everything perfectly. You never have to duplicate anything again. So Moving right on, we have viewing and printing options. You can view your calendar by day, by work week, by week, by month, by whatever. Work week would be, let's say, a Monday through Friday, whatever you set up your personal work week to be. If you say your work week is Monday to Wednesday, that's going to be your work week. There's options. Everything's customizable in Outlook so you can feel comfortable with it and that it feels like yours. We have the print options here. This is the daily style. This is the what actually popped up. I have selected here daily style, but what the screenshot is for a weekly style calendar. If you want to take your, you don't have it synced with your phone, you want to take your calendar with you, you just print it. It looks like a regular calendar. Comes up, we'll need an organizer. Your colors even come up, whatever colors you had on there come up on the printed out version. So it's great. And these are the options you have. You have a weekly style, monthly style, trifold style, calendar detail style, memo style, and you could even edit each option so it's exactly the way you like it. If you had a paper calendar that you're used to and you want it just that way, you can edit and customize everything. And that's throughout Outlook. Everything in Outlook is customizable to suit your specific style of the way you like things. Next, sharing calendar access between husband and wife or shlucha and assistant. Right here, if you notice, I don't know if you could see it, but I have my calendar, and underneath it says Rabbi's calendar. The left side here is my calendar. The right side is the Rabbi's calendar. I view them all at the same time. I can view one at a time if I want, or I have both checked. I view them at the same time. You can view four calendars at a time. You can view as many calendars as you want. You share them. You can put things on. You can put on the Rabbi's calendar, like we were discussing before. Jack and Sandra coming for dinner, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Put on his calendar. He gets it. The next time it syncs, 10 minutes later, however often you have it set, it's on his calendar automatically. You don't have to call him and rely on him remembering to put on his calendar or forgetting altogether, whatever it is. You just put it right on.
When you set it to sync.
I think it's going to pop up in a second on my screen. So that's also amazing. I think it's crucial for if you have your own assistant, your husband has an assistant who's helping him in the office, to schedule things for, you know, see each other's calendar. It's really, you have to be on the same page. And that's what technology does for you. Instead of constant calls back and forth, are you available, are you not, you see right away. Everyone can work seamlessly together. So all you have to do is three simple steps. First of all, you have to have a Gmail account set up. There is a way to do this with an IT person. If you have an IT person, you could set up Workgroup Share. But I want to make it the least complicated so you can actually do it on your own. You don't have to call someone to do it. What you'll have to do is set up a Gmail account. You don't have to use it. It's just Gmail wants to sync your calendar for you. Google is going to sync your calendar for you, and you need to have an account. So you set up any account. You never have to send an email from it. You sync your Outlook calendar with Google Calendar. Google is very user-friendly, as I'm sure you'll know. It will guide you through all the steps. I actually just tried it yesterday for the first time, and it went very smoothly. They tell you what to do. They tell you how to sync it. You go into your calendar options when you log into Gmail. Everything's there. And the place to find the link was too long to put on here, so I just go to Google, and I showed you here, type in Google Calendar Sync, and you'll get the link to it. And the last thing you do is choose whom you want your calendar to be shared with. So you put in the email address that your husband set up for this, just for this specific calendar sync, and you choose that, and your calendar is automatically synced. You set it how often you want it to sync, whatever it is, 10 minutes every hour, as you like it. And you can also, of course, log into your Gmail account. Like we discussed before, if your computer shuts down, you can go on your laptop, log into your Gmail account, and you'll have your calendar, your whole Outlook calendar on there. Okay, tasks. And again, I'm going to skip this screen and just go straight into the actual screenshots. Do we have more time, being that we started late, or not really?
How do you have the calendar on the Gmail account?
Oh, good, okay.
How do you have the calendar on the Gmail account? What do you go
type in Google Calendar Sync, or type into Google, type in Sync Outlook Calendar with Google, or whatever you want. It will give you a link right away. It should come up right at the top. Okay. Create, categorize, sort, and view your tasks. So here's the task window. Very straightforward also. New task that you're scheduling. Let's say book entertainer for Purim. So subject would be book entertainer for Purim. You have a due date, a start date, status, if you started yet, if you didn't, what priority it is, high priority, normal. Normal is basically for everything unless it must be done today. It's going to show up in red. And it will show up in red according to the due date. And high priority will have a little high priority button near it. If you see right here, this red thing shows high priority. And the blue shows low priority. So you have a lot of ways to sort and view your tasks. You have all different menus on the left side, viewing menus. So you have a simple list. You can view active tasks only, so you don't have to look at whatever was done already and completed. If you want to see the ones that were completed, you'll see it crossed out, grayed out. You could view by category. I have it viewed by category because we have the categories call, computer, desk, errands. I think these categories work for everyone, but if there are... Yeah, you'll set up categories. As soon as you hit the categories button, whenever you schedule a task, you hit the categories button. If your category is not in there yet, it will give you an option. Choose master category list, select master category list, and you can set up from there. So let's go back for a sec. So here you have it viewed by, you're sitting at your desk, you have, look at the category right away that says desk, computer, and, or let's say there's one that says Chabad house. You have to be in Chabad house to do it, meet with someone, whatever it is. These things actually had real Chabad house tasks, but it's a pity you can't really see it. But you'll see right away, it'll keep you organized. If you have a different system that works, use a different system. Make your own categories. If you have a personal and Chabad and preschool and whatever else, use your own, whatever you're comfortable with. Now, convert an email to a task I love because basically you get your email box as a collecting point for a lot of things. Now, you have to set it into something actionable. An email comes, someone wants something from you. So this email says, "Hi, Robinson, can you please write a letter of recommendation for me? I'd so appreciate if you're able to have it done by February 15th. Thanks so much, and thanks for everything, Jessica." So now what you do is you take this specific email, your mouse is on it, and you drag it into tasks. Drag into mail, it should drag into tasks. And automatically that pops up. You see Jessica's email came right into the task pane. It says, "Hi, Robinson, could you do whatever?" It shows who it's from, whatever it says here. I don't know, date, sent. I can't even see it on my screen. But you just schedule the date for it. The due date, she said she wanted it done by February 15th, so you schedule a due date of February 15th, and you could redo the subject line recommendation letter, you hit the category, computer, and you're done. That email you can now delete, or you can put into a reference folder if you have a reference folder or a save mail folder, whatever you want. Your deleted folder, you can set an option that your deleted folder never ever deletes, so delete things, put it in there if you never need it again. Now it's a task, it's an actionable item, it's not just an email sitting in your inbox. The purpose of putting everything... making everything a task is because at the end of the day, you're not sure if you left. You would have to check, let's say, your email to see if there's anything important you left in there that's not covered yet that you have to do today. You would have to check your voicemail to see if there's a message you didn't return. You'd have to look at the notes on your dashboard. You'd have to look all over to see if everything got covered. It's too overwhelming. So if you turn everything into a task, you get a voicemail, make a task, return Sandra's phone call. Again, if it's 2 minutes, do it now. If it takes a half hour to speak to her and hear about her life before she asks you the question, then make it a task. Schedule time for it for whenever you want it, whenever you want to return the call. So that's the purpose of doing tasks. So your mailbox stays clear, and as soon as you send the task to her, you'll respond. You see her email address in the task thing, so you don't actually need it in your inbox. Next, managing the work of others has never been easier, and this is something I really like. As I mentioned before, we were discussing a little bit of it, the task request system. You could do a new task, and you could do a new task request. New task request is for someone else to do. So when you're delegating something to someone, instead of sending tons of emails, "Hani, you do this, Sarah, you do that, Jessica, you do that," how do you remember what you told them to do, and how do you know if they even did it? How do you follow up with it? You're going to nag them every day, "Did you do it?" If you even remember to ask them, no. You do a task request, new task request, and you see right here, it comes up in your task folder. I have tasks in my folder. This is mine. This is Shani Blau. I'm the owner. It's under the owner category.
Do we have to finish now? Okay.
Okay. Give me 2 minutes. I'll finish up. I'm the owner, and I see who owns. Rabbi Shliach, I task requested the Shliach. Rabbi Shliach owns the next task. Dini Apple is my assistant. She owns another task. And so on. So you can see who owns what. You can see, and as I mentioned before, you get the progress of exactly what they did. You get automatically automatic emails every time they update something. There's new task requests. So it tracks outstanding tasks, and you could view the progress, and you see automatic notifications. I just want to know, she could be in Australia, and you could be in America, and it works together, as long as you're both on Outlook. You don't have to be in the same office on the same network. It has nothing to do with it. So we're skipping. This we discussed. The categories. I'm just going to finish up very quickly. The due dates, there's we're not going to discuss it really, but there are time experts, time management experts who say don't do due dates because it's a cryable phenomenon. You know, you say whatever has to be, the design has to be done by whatever date, and you skip it anyways. You know it's not a real due date. And then you're just used to skipping due dates, like the people who set their watch 10 minutes fast to pretend like it's really a different time, and they come late to meetings anyways. So they recommend start dates, but we can't really get into it now. Your contacts, I'm not going to discuss much because a lot of you have CMS, and that's managing your contacts. But the control F is a great tip. You can read in your screenshot afterwards. The control F, if someone asks you for a contact, you just click on the contact in your contacts folder, and it automatically forwards.
And it's good for personal. You're not on CMS, you're not going to have your head.
Right, right. And you can have categories. You can have a personal category. You can have your family category. You can have your friends category. You can have as many categories as you want. Control F I just showed you. Groups distribution list is great for like a staff meeting. You have your staff group, and it shows up as it shows that little icon to show that it's a group. You can merge to email. I'm going to have to skip now, but basically there is a merge to email option that we had, and I can show it to you afterwards if you'd like, how to merge like 900 emails, and they all get sent within a few minutes. There's notes that we're skipping. I'm just finishing right now. Another minute, and we're done. And read on your handout the options, all the resources. There's a lot of resources that I showed you how to integrate Google. There's Google Desktop, and there's a lot of great things, applications. If you want to talk your task to Outlook, there's an application that does it for you. I think you can see all of it on your thing, on your handout, and that's basically it. And then at the end, I gave you resources and references, and the last page is 7 things to do when you get home to actually implement what you learned. Don't just, like, park this in your file somewhere and forget about it. Move over to Outlook, and you'll enjoy. You're not going to turn back.
Can we follow you?
By the way, I want to introduce myself. I'm Sarla Booker.
Oh, hi. Really?
I say, how good are you in your head? Remember, we are waiting for you.